listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. We hope and pray that you are encouraged by today's message.
A few weeks ago, Pastor Steve began a series of teachings on the Holy Spirit. And what I'd like to do today, if I may, is just parallel those teachings and share with you an illustration and an example that the Lord pressed upon my heart and revealed to me during that time. And if you turn to the book of Acts, we're actually going to start in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And this is what it says. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. That verse there is very significant. Who is the author of the book of Acts? It is Luke the physician. And what he's basically saying here is that he wrote a former account, a former record as well, to Theophilus. And that record was all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And it's important to understand that he began to do and teach, and that work continues to do and to teach. The Gospel of Luke, which was written by Luke the physician, is an account, a historical account of facts and records and documentation of what Jesus taught and did. And he's basically saying, now I'm writing you another letter, Theophilus. Jesus began to teach and began to do deeds and acts when he walked upon this earth. That I told you in my Gospel of Luke. But now what I'm telling you in the book of Acts is that work continues through the risen Lord. He continues to teach and to do mighty works and acts through his church, through his people, through the apostles and the disciples. And as I contemplated this, it was the first time that I really pondered the title of the book of Acts. People would say, turn to the book of Acts. We're going to read from there. I'd read in the Bible from the book of Acts. But I never really pondered the title. And as I began to ponder the title, Acts, what are Acts? I began to realize that Acts are deeds done. They're works performed. And it also has another connotation or meaning. If I would say to you, my husband acts just like his father did, you would know what I'm saying to you, correct? He acts like, he behaves like, he conducts himself like, he resembles and imitates his father. So basically, acts is people who conduct themselves, behave themselves, act like, resemble Jesus Christ, and do the same works that he did. It's the acts of the apostles, the acts of the Holy Spirit working mightily through the apostles. It's a record of people who received just what Jesus Christ received in order to do exactly what Jesus Christ did. What are these deeds? What are these mighty works that these people did? First, we have to realize when we look at the book of Acts that the people in this, the apostles and the disciples, were used to be followers of Christ who were very, in the world's eyes, cowardice. They were timid. They were afraid. They were living in fear of their lives, suffering and persecution all around them. They were stressed. They were anxious. They were in a mode of crisis. And all of a sudden, something happened in their lives that radically transformed and changed them from being cowardice followers of Jesus Christ to being courageous, bold leaders in Christ. What was the change that took place in their lives? Because now they were doing these mighty works. They were doing these mighty acts. They were teaching just as Jesus taught. And they were doing the same things that Jesus did. And what were these mighty deeds? They were proclaiming the good news, and that good news was spreading Christianity. They were laying hands on the sick, and the sick were being healed. They were praying for those who were under demonic oppression and strongholds of sin, and they were being liberated and set free. We need to realize that these were ordinary people, just like you and me, doing extraordinary things. these extraordinary things aided, like we said, in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and spreading Christianity throughout the world. These extraordinary things aided in lifting up and exalting Jesus higher and higher and higher, that the world might see and know him. These acts and mighty deeds brought multitudes into the kingdom of God, translated them out of darkness and into the marvelous light. And as I began to ponder this, I thought, Lord, I want to live it. I want to experience it. This was the norm for the New Testament church. It should be the norm for us here and now. And I'm like, Lord, I want to live this. I want to experience this. The New Testament church in the book of Acts was noted for their supernatural power, the faith that they had in the Lord that they could and would and did do these mighty acts and deeds. And I'm crying out, Lord, I want to do the same. I want to see it lived every day of my life. What do I need to do for this to occur? What do I need to do for this to change in me and in the Church of Jesus Christ in this hour? And I felt the Lord say to me through the Holy Spirit, I didn't call you to be a showpiece for me. I called you to be a showcase for me. And I'm thinking, what for answer is that? You didn't call me to be a showpiece in the kingdom of God, but you called me to be a showcase in the kingdom of God. And as I started to contemplate what the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I began to dissect the words. And if I would say to you, show, what does it mean to show? Well, to show, oops, I lost my key. Well, then I'll use this. If I were to show you this key, I'm making it evident. I'm revealing it to you. I'm manifesting it to you. I'm making it known so that you obviously can see it. To show something is to make it evident that someone else can see it. And as I contemplated on the word peace, what is peace? P-E-I-C-E. I before E, except after C, right? I spelled that right. Okay. Now, peace. What is a peace? A peace is a fragment, a portion, a part of the whole. If I have a whole apple pie, or if I have a whole pizza pie, and I cut out a slice, I'm cutting out a fragment, a portion, a piece, and I'm separating it from the whole. Okay? Now, this carries significance, so keep with me. Now, a case. What is a case? A case is something that receives and holds something. It receives and holds something. It holds all of its contents together, the whole together. And as I contemplated this, the Lord gave me an illustration, and I want to share this illustration. And for those of you who don't appreciate jewelry, maybe the men, you can relate to this as maybe this one piece that I'm going to hold up to you is a gun, and then the jewelry box would be a gun safe, okay? But if I held up to you this pink gem, and it was truly a pink diamond, it would be very rare, very exquisite, very expensive, and its self-worth, its value would be in and of itself. It stands alone, and it would be a showpiece. Are you with me? Yet, if I take this case, and it would be full of jewelry, now we're no longer looking at an individual piece that has fragmented itself from the whole, correct? We're looking at the whole case and the treasures inside that case. And it's the treasures, the values that are inside the case that make it of value and worth. That makes sense? Okay, so let's take it into a spiritual connotation now. And if you'll turn with me in the book of Acts, we're going to go to the third chapter, and we're going to start in verse 1. Okay, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to understand here that Peter, not just 2 months ago in this story, denied Jesus Christ. He was cowardice. He was fearful, the world might say. When he, when they took and arrested Jesus and he followed to see what would happen to him, and the young girl recognized him and said, "You're a follower of Jesus Christ, are you not?" He denied that. He didn't want to potentially face the same imprisonment, the same beatings and suffering, the potential same death that Jesus Christ was facing. And all of a sudden now we have Peter boldly with John going into the temple in the ninth hour to pray. And there was a certain man there who was lame from his mother's womb. He was carried there daily and laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And when he saw Peter and John to go into the temple, about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. Basically, he was a beggar. He was put every day at the temple to beg for food and or money. So, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So the lame man gave them his attention, and I love this. He was expecting to receive something from them. He had expectancy in his heart. Faith was starting to stir up. He thought he was going to get alms, but he got much more than he ever bargained for. Then Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So the lame man started leaping. He stood and he walked, and he entered the temple with them. He was walking, he was leaping, he was praising God, and I'm sure he was making a ruckus. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who had been lame and had sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was still holding on to Peter and John, not holding because he couldn't walk, just holding on to them with such sheer excitement and exultation of, look at me and these men. And all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. And when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as if we're showpieces, as though by our own power or by our own godliness we made this man walk? It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and you denied in the presence of Pilate, when Pilate was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the Just One, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you instead. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, of whom we are eyewitnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, through Christ, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." To see how Peter and John were not about to become a showpiece for the kingdom of God. They made it very clear that they were showcasing the power that was within them. Are you with me? And then it goes on in chapter 4, verse 1. They continued to preach just as Jesus would have taught. They continued to teach in spite of the threat of potential persecution, imprisonment, beatings, and even death. They continued to preach. And now in chapter 4 says, the consequences came. As they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. And they were greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they laid hands on Peter and John, and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000, because the New Testament church continued to teach and to do the acts that Jesus Christ did. 5,000 came into the kingdom of God that day. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, the elders, and the scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they set Peter and John in the midst of them, they ask, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that it was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you every whit whole. Can you see the difference between the showpiece and the showcase? Peter and John made it very clear that they were not showpieces in the kingdom of God. That self-worth, that value of the ability to be able to raise that man up and see him walk was not in and of themselves. That power, that love and that power that was able to bring that man to total health and wholeness was encased within them. The treasure was in them. It was the treasure that was in them that made that man every whit whole. So we say, what unlocks that spiritual treasure within each one of our lives? And if each one of us in here has come to Christ and acknowledged him as the Lord and Savior of our lives, there is a treasure within the depth of our being. The Godhead himself dwells within us in Jesus Christ, his Son, and by his Spirit. There is treasure within each one of us, this same treasure that was able to raise this lame man up and see him walk. So how do we unlock that treasure that is within us? What is the key that unlocks the showcase, that lets out the love and the power that is within us, the treasures that are within us? The key is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And if we look at chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and this was right before Jesus Christ rose into heaven. He was crucified. He rose again from the dead. He was walking with his apostles after he was rose again from the dead, appearing to multitudes of people and to his apostles at different times. And right before he rose, he said, I'm going up and ascending into heaven, where I'll sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. But when I ascend up, my Holy Spirit will descend down. That is my promise to you. I will send you the Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. You will be witnesses through the words and the testimonies that you share, and you will be witnesses through the mighty deeds and works and miracles that you do. The disciples had to receive the same power that Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. And before Jesus began his public ministry, he had a life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit. And Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, tells us about that experience. He had an experience, a separate entity with an experience of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And now it's saying to us as well in Acts, Luke is indicating as well in the book of Acts, that that same life-changing experience and encounter had to come upon the disciples who were already believers, had to come upon them so that they too would be prepared for the public ministry. And if you read in Acts in chapter 1 and chapter 2, it talks about the Holy Spirit lighting upon them as tongues of fire and them receiving that key that it would unlock the treasure that is within them. In the New Testament church today, the ongoing New Testament church, we are the New Testament church. We need the same life-changing encounter or experience that they received before we're able to go into our public ministry. Call it what you may, but if you look at the book of Acts, every time they asked whether or not they had received the Holy Spirit yet, they were believers. They had come into faith in Jesus Christ. The treasure was already within them, but they're asking, do you have the key, the promise, the Holy Spirit that will unlock that treasure of love and power that is resident within you so that you can carry on the teachings and the acts and the deeds that Jesus Christ did and transform and change this world for his name's sake. call it what you may, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, whatever you're calling it, there needs to be a life-changing encounter. And if we're believers in Christ, the Bible says when we want this promise that was given, all we have to do is acknowledge that we need it, that we're not a showpiece. We're called to be a showcase. We can't do anything in and of ourselves. We need the power of His Spirit to carry forth His kingdom and His public ministry. All we have to do is acknowledge that we need it and then ask. Sometimes we have not because we ask not, the Bible says. We have to ask to receive it. And then once we've asked, we know that it's a promise. And God's not going to hold the promise, the goodness of Him, withhold that from His children. He's going to give it. So then believe by faith, just like with your salvation, you believe by faith that you receive it and now act upon it. Experience it. Live it in your daily lives. And not only is the Holy Spirit the key that unlocks the treasure, the love and the power that is within us, the Holy Spirit actually becomes the key person now in this whole show. He takes full responsibility and the show becomes His show. Are you with me? And as I pondered this, the Lord revealed to me that a showcase, within a showcase, there's protection, right? Doesn't it protect the treasures that are within it? There's protection. There's illumination. This isn't a good one. Most good showcases have lights in them, okay? Illumination, that it lights up what's inside of it so you can see it, correct? And it also provides organization. There has to be some kind of an alignment, a display, okay? So a showcase also provides protection, illumination, and organization. And very quickly, let's look at those concepts. Protection. So the Holy Spirit is crucial in all of this. So where is my protection in all of this? I am protected because as a showpiece, when I step out on my own and think that my self-worth and my value and who I am can minister unto anybody, I'm setting myself up for failure. But if I stay in the mentality of the showcase and know that it's not about me, but it's about the treasure that is within me, there's protection in that because I'm no longer responsible. The Holy Spirit is responsible for the show. He is responsible for the plans and purposes, the consequences, and the outcome. Now, if you're at work and you're given a project and it's like overwhelming, isn't it nice to be able to pass the buck to a higher authority and say, you're going to have to get this done and you're going to have to decide how it's going to be done because it's beyond me. So all we have to do is pass the buck to the Holy Spirit. He's responsible, not me. He's responsible for the plans and purposes of my day. If I want to live this to be the norm in my life, if me, an ordinary person, wants to walk in the extraordinary power of the Spirit of the living God, I have to give surrender to the Holy Spirit. He comes up with the plans and purposes for the day. He'll tell me, if I'm listening carefully, who I should just listen to as they pour their heart out to me. He'll tell me through the day who I might call or send a note of encouragement. Just give a hug or friendly words of exhortation. Who I might lay hands on and pray for. The plans and the purposes are His. All we have to do is obey. And then out of that, then, He's responsible for the consequences. We live in a world that loves the darkness. The church likes the light. The world likes the darkness. And when the light manifests itself in the darkness, there's going to be repercussions. Hopefully the light will be excited and glad and happy, rejoicing. But the darkness will bring forth persecution, suffering, ridicule, rejection. And we have to be willing to say, it's okay, because I'm protected. The Holy Spirit is responsible, and now He's the one who has to encourage me, comfort me, strengthen me, give me the grace in order to continue to go on. So He's responsible for the consequences, and the Holy Spirit's also responsible for the outcome. So let's say he tells me to lay hands on somebody at work who's been telling me for a month that they don't feel well, they have this chronic illness, and it wasn't until a month later, after I established a relationship and trust with that person, that the Lord said, lay hands on them and pray for them. It's not my responsibility, the outcome. All I need to do is be obedient. And if I don't see that person rise up and be healed that day, I have no clue what's going to happen next week or the next month or the next month when somebody else lays hands on that person and pray. I was obedient, and I have to trust that there was a seed planted in that person's life, a seed of hope, a seed of faith, a seed of encouragement, of just love that I would be willing to pray. And it's a test on the Holy Spirit also in me. Am I able to take the risk and the vulnerability and open up that showcase that the world might see what's inside of me? I'm taking a risk and I'm making myself vulnerable. And maybe that's all he wanted to see. Are you willing to take the risk? You say you want this. Do you really want this? Because there's consequences to this. But I'm responsible for those consequences and I'm responsible for the outcome. There's also protection of the treasures. They can never be stolen from me. The world stores up for itself things in the Bible that it tells us moth and rust and dust and corruption will take and steal. They can't steal these heavenly treasures. They're not earthly treasures. They're heavenly treasures. I have security in that. And you know what else I have protection in? I have protection in the Holy Spirit being my brand name. So often we want brand name designer clothes. Well, we've got a brand made designer jewelry box, if you want to call it, showcase, handcrafted and designed by the Father himself. His brand and his insignia is on us through the Holy Spirit as a guarantee and a deposit that we are his and nothing will ever take that from us. Eternally, the Holy Spirit, it says in the Bible, is a deposit of our security, of our inheritance, our forever destiny in the Lord, knowing that he who has begun a good work in me will see it through unto completion. And I just want to read with you something here from Ephesians 1:11 through 14. And this is where it's saying that he's marked us by his Spirit within us. He's anointed and sealed us. There's protection in that. We are forever his. In verse 11, it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. We're predestined according to the purpose of God, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This body may die, but my spirit will never die. I have been given eternal life, and this body will raise up again. It will not see corruption. It'll raise up into incorruption and immortality. And that seal, that protection of the Holy Spirit within me ensures that. Are you with me? The showcase also provides illumination, light. And you know what's ironic about all of this? We get to determine how much light we want in the showcase. And the more light, the more people are going to see Jesus. The more light, the more people are going to see the treasures within us. Correct? Okay, so how does that work? The illumination. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. The light came into the darkness. The Bible says that we are called also to be light in the world. The Bible says that the Word of God itself is light. In Psalm 119, it talks about, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalm 19, it also talks about, the entrance of thy word giveth light. So if we want light to be in our showcase, if we want increased illumination and brightness, all we have to do is turn on the light, spend time in the presence of the light. You know, like the glow bugs. I still have some of them when the kids were little, and you know they still work. If you put them in the light and then take them into darkness, they shine. But if they don't have the light as their power source, you take them into the darkness, they're not going to shine. They need to have the light in order to make them shine. Does that make sense? So if we want to increase the illumination in our showcase, if we want light in there that people can see the treasures that are within us, we need to spend time with the light. We need to spend time in relationship and fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. And it might sound like, oh, we hear it all the time, but do we do it? We need to spend time in his presence, because in his presence is where we have the fellowship, the communion. And we need to learn to walk 24/7 in the presence of the Lord, not just in our secret closets, which are crucial, but constantly in his presence. So our fellowship, our communion, our friendship, our love with the Lord provides increased light into the showcase. And also the time we spend in the Word of God increases the light within our showcase. And I want to share with you scriptures about that from 2 Corinthians. So if you turn to 2 Corinthians, we're actually going to look at chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verse 4. And it says, we have such trust through Christ toward God our Father. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from us, not that we think ourselves to be showpieces, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. He's made us showcases of his new covenant. Not of the letter, and this is important, but of the Spirit. For the letter will kill, but the Spirit gives life. And if you go down into verse 16, it says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just by the, as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is this saying? This is basically saying that before we came to Christ, we had a veil over us. I can see you through this veil, but I see very dimly. I cannot see clearly. My relationship with the Father is stifled because I don't have Christ. My ability to read the Word is stifled because I can't understand or comprehend it. But the Bible says when we come to Christ, the veil is lifted. It's removed. Now the Holy Spirit in me gives me the liberty and the freedom to see fully into the Word of God and to understand it, because he's my teacher, he's my counselor, he's the one who leads and guides me into all truth. And it gives me, the Holy Spirit gives me the liberty and the freedom to look fully into the face of God through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the image, the perfect image of the Father. He is the reincarnation of the Father as he dwelt among us. So, if I want increased light in my showcase, then I need to spend time in his Word, and I need to spend time in his presence. And this scripture tells me that what I spend time with, what I meditate upon in, what I look at, I become. That's why it's important that we look into the Word of God. And when it talks about the mirror, it's actually talking about the Word of God. When we look into this mirror, and believe me, if you're going to look into a mirror, you won't see no reflection unless you look. Are you with me? I can't see my reflection. I need to look to see my reflection. And the Bible says that I look into the Word of God and meditate upon this Word and get more and more and more of this Word into me, I actually become like what I behold. The Word transforms me into the character and the nature of the Lord. It is a spiritual truth. Someone said it's amazing. It is amazing. It is supernatural. But that's the way it works. And he's made it very clear that's the way it works. So we need to be into the Word of the Lord to be transformed. And we need to make sure when we look in here that we're not looking through the letter of the law with the veil still over our eyes. We need, because it'll kill us. We need to make sure we're looking at it with the life of the Spirit. The letter of the law will be the cursings. Everything we see will be, you're a sinner. You're no good. You're not worthy. You'll never measure up. You have sin in your life. You have demonic strongholds in your life. You have addictions in your life. You're nothing but a filthy rag. You're like a dust. You're like the worm. We need to look beyond, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit says, deep calls to deep. Look deeper. Look deeper. Look deeper. See the Christ in here. Let the Holy Spirit reveal the Christ in here to you. Because Christ is the fulfillment of the law, and he's also the fulfiller of the law. He's the fulfiller and the fulfillment. And he says, look deeper. Look deeper. See me, for I am your redeemer. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am your victor. I am the one who will transform and change you, that when you look into the Word, you will see me reflecting back to you. You will begin to look like me. I can't be a showcase unless I'm conformed into the character and the nature of the Lord. That I behave like him, conduct myself like him, imitate him, act like him. If I'm going to do these mighty deeds, these miracles, these works in his name. And I shared this illustration a while ago. If we look through the mirror under the law, it's like that fairy tale in Snow White. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And it conjures up the curse. It conjures up the witch. It conjures up the enemy who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. I need to look through this mirror, the word of the Lord, with truth, by the power of the Holy Spirit teaching me. And I can say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And he'll say, Jesus. And I can say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? You are, because you look like Jesus. And I would say to you, I'm not afraid to look into the mirror at what I might see. I see Christ, and I know he's working mightily in me. I see Christ, and he's transforming and changing me. I have a guarantee that he has sealed me, anointed me, equipped me. I have a guarantee that he's able and willing to minister to the world through me. In Galatians 3, don't turn to it. Let me just read it quickly to you. Galatians 3, 13 through 14 says this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He hung on a tree. He hung on the cross for you and me, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Do you know how often the Bible talks about the Spirit? So often we look and we're trying to comprehend and understand Jesus, and we can't without the Spirit, that power through us. And last but not least, if I may, I'd like to talk to you about organization. A showcase brings organization. I have an old jewelry box at home, and the grandkids love to play with that. The trinkets, there's no bling in there. It's all, what you call it, real cheap jewelry. They can play with it. But I'm telling you, when they're done, it is in total chaos and disaccord. I can find one earring and not the other. I can find this and not that. But they love to go through it and see the treasures. We need to understand there's treasure in us. And when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit is responsible to bring that treasure into alignment, to bring it into organization. Because outside of Christ, there was no treasure. Inside of Christ, there is a treasure. And it's the Holy Spirit's power, purposes, is his responsibility to bring organization to that display. And the organization, the structure, the alignment, comes out of obedience. And sometimes we don't like to hear that word, but it's out of obedience. We get to determine how much structure, how much organization, how much alignment is our showcase by how much we want to obey. And our first step of obedience is establishing the relationship with the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's our first step of obedience. If we're not doing that, we haven't even begun to learn what obedience is all about. And let's talk about that first step of obedience, getting to know, now that I'm saved, who I've just left into my life. If I had somebody knock at the door, and it was a total stranger that I didn't know much about, and I opened up the door and I left him come in, believe me, he'd sit nowhere but in the living room, and my eyes would be upon him. And just maybe if he had to use the bathroom, I'd let him, okay? But there would be no other room that I'd entitle him to roam. Once I got to know him, once he became a friend to me, once I began to know that I could trust him, I could let him freely roam through all of my house, and I would have no fear. I know he can be trusted. How about the same with the Holy Spirit and Jesus when we let him into our lives at salvation, and the Godhead himself dwells within us? Don't you want to know who's within you? Don't you want to know who you let resident in your house, your tabernacle, your showcase? And once he knows us, we just don't know him. And once we get to know him and we spend time with him, we'll realize that we can trust him. And he can go anywhere in this tabernacle he wants to go. He can go into every single nook and cranny and see if there's anything in there that's hindering my walk with him. And I give him free freedom to throw it out and get rid of it, because I want nothing to hinder me in my walk with him. So our first step of obedience is establishing relationship with the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, and getting to know Jesus, who is within us, and Holy Spirit, who is within us. Our second step of obedience is, if we're following the first step of obedience, we're actually going to get to recognize his voice. We're going to get to recognize when he's talking, when the flesh is talking, when he's speaking and the world's talking. We'll get to recognize the still, small voice of the Lord. And then when he says something to do it, just do it. And remembering that the plans and the purposes, the consequences, and the outcome are his. And I'm going to conclude now, okay? The treasure within us is a gift. It was purchased with a price tag that none of us could have obtained. And the price tag on how high the price is set is a reflection of the value. And there was a high price that was paid for our salvation and for the treasure that is within us. It was the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And it is of value and worth. It's of value and worth to me, because it has the power to transform and change me. And it is of worth to the world, because it has the power to transform and change the world. That treasure is unlocked by the Holy Spirit revealing who is within me and conforming me into that same image of Christ. But in order to be transformed and changed, I don't have to be willing to be changed. I have to be determined to be changed. In order to be changed, I need to be determined to be changed. And in order to be changed to come, I have to be willing to be stretched. To grow, I have to stretch. And if you're going to take a good stretch, you just don't go like this. If you're going to take a good stretch, you go upward and you go outward. Upward unto the Lord and outward to the world and the body of Christ around you. We need to be willing to become something that we currently are not. We need to be willing to yield ourselves as clay to the potter's wheel. And he'll change our current boundaries. He'll change our current shapes. He's going to make a showcase out of us for the world to see. Not a showpiece, but a showcase for his kingdom. Not a showpiece, but a showcase for his honor and glory. Not a showpiece, but a showcase of his power and love. A showcase handcrafted and designed by God himself. I am his treasure. He is my treasure. May I showcase the treasure within me. May I give permission to ask to, may I give permission to and ask the Holy Spirit to unlock all that is within me. A.W. Tozer once said, an infinite God can give all of himself to each one of his children, not a portion, not a slice, not a fragment, but all of himself to each of his children. He does not distribute himself that each may have a part, but to each one he gives all of himself as fully as if there were no others. We often say there's no junior Holy Spirits in here. There's not. Doesn't matter how small, how tall, how thin, how wide. If we came to Christ, the same treasure lies in each one of us. And it is the Holy Spirit that unlocks that treasure. And with maturity, we allow for increased illumination and increased organization. So I say to you today, let the Holy Spirit activate the fullness of God that is within you. Shake off the mentality of the world and of the showpiece that says, I can do anything I want to that I set my mind to. I can be anything that I want to be. That's the mentality of the showpiece and of the world. But take on the mentality of the showcase and the Word of God, which says, apart from the Lord, you can do nothing, nothing of eternal value. And I want you to also take on the mentality of the Word of the Lord from Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. And just listen, hear what it says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power, the Spirit that works in us, to him be glory in the church. To him be glory, not to me, not to you. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So when leaving today, I challenge you with this. If you believe the book of Acts to be true, then act upon the book. Receive the power that is promised in Acts 1:8. Be conformed into the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. Teach those things he taught. Do those mighty deeds, those mighty works that he did. There is a world out there desperately waiting and in desperate need. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty. I wrote down some notes too, but I was really challenged to not be a showpiece, be a showcase today for God's glory. I love what you said, not just being willing to change, but being determined to change. So God, I just pray that you give us that spiritual determination. Father, not just to even give you permission, but to be determined, to act upon your Spirit, to be sensitive to your ways. God, in humility, we become showcases so that we can showcase not our glory, but your glory. So God, we just give you the glory today. Thank you, God, for Patty, for her being willing and determined to be used by you today. Thank you, Father.